Well, good morning, everyone. My name is Albie. I'm the minister here at church. Welcome to church, especially if it's your first time with us, or maybe you haven't been here for a while, or maybe you've come back from being on online church. It's great to have you here with us as we start this new series looking at 1 Thessalonians. This series is going to take us through the rest of the term, and it's a great book to sink our teeth into. Now, before we start, I wonder if you can spot the difference on the screen behind me. It's a little bit blurred, but that's kind of okay because the real thing is a little bit blurred as well. A number of years ago, someone was doing their Christmas shopping in the United Kingdom. They used a £20 note, which is completely normal. But the difference this time is that the £20 note was a fake. And it wasn't just any fake. It was a terrible fake. It was basically a colour photocopier. On normal paper that was cut out and cut down to the right size. Now, it wasn't even a double-sided photocopy. It was two photocopies stuck together back-to-back with staples in the corner. Now, maybe even more amazing is that it was accepted by the shopkeeper. The person got away with it. Now, one of my early jobs after finishing university was that I worked in the fraud section of a bank for a while. I remember seeing a poster about how to tell if a banknote was real or if it was a fake. So if you've got a banknote, you can feel free to take it out if you like. But in terms of banknotes, there should be a clear window there. There should be an image on that you can't rub off. If you've got one of those older notes, you can hold it up to the light, and there's a little white window. And when you do that, you'll see a seven-pointed star that you don't see if you're actually just looking at it flat on. At the same time, if you're looking up to the light, you should be able to spot the Australian coat of arms. It's somewhere on there. Also, if you've got a UV light and you shine it on the note, parts of it will glow. I tried this with the kids last night. It's kind of cool. You'll see on the newer ones, there's a bird that pops up when you've got the UV light shining on it. When you're trying to work out what is real and what is fake, there are hallmarks. There's evidence, there are signs to help us work out what's real, what's fake. Now, that's what's going on here at the start of 1 Thessalonians. It's a letter from the Apostle Paul to the church in Thessalonica, which is in modern-day Greece today. The big question in today's chapter is the church real or is it fake? Are they the real deal? Are they genuine? Now, the reason why the question comes up is because of what's been going on in Thessalonica. You see, the church in Thessalonica, it was born in a firestorm. You can read about it in Acts chapter 17. Paul had turned up. He'd preached for maybe 3 weeks, and a lot of people became Christian. The church started up. But it was a hostile situation. There is persecution. There's opposition straight away. The Jews, they are against Paul. And they're against the message that he's preaching. And so they form a mob. They try to hunt Paul down. They can't find him. And so they grab the Christian where he's staying and they drag him off to the courts instead. And so Paul has to leave. He has to flee to the city of Berea. And when the Jews in Thessalonica find out, they follow him to Berea and they chase him out of that city as well. Now imagine being one of the Thessalonian Christians. You've only been a Christian for a few months. It's been a firestorm when Paul was here, and the attacks don't stop when he goes. You can imagine the opposition, the Jews saying, "You're not a real church. You can't trust Paul. He just wants to take money off you. What he says, his message, is rubbish." And so the Thessalonians have every reason to doubt, are we the real thing? And Paul starts the letter by saying, you are the church in God the Father and in Jesus Christ. You are the real deal. Your relationship with God, it's there. And then Paul gives three reasons, three hallmarks to show that they are a genuine church. And so this morning, we're going to look at each one of those hallmarks, and we need to ask, is that us? Is that us? Now, before we look at those things, take a look at verse 1, the introduction to the letter. Verse 1 says, Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to the Church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace to you. It's the standard greeting in letters back then. It's from Paul and his friends to the Thessalonians. There's a bit of a blessing there. And then verse 2. We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. Do you see how Paul starts off? He says, we thank God for you. You are the real deal. You are the real thing. And then chapter 1, three signs, three hallmarks. Transformed, gripped, and ringing. Let's take a look at the first one. The first one is that they are transformed. They are radically transformed. We see that in verse 9. They're the description of the Thessalonians. There's reports coming in, and this is how they're described. They tell how you turned to God from idols, to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven. It is a massive change. Back then, idols were everywhere. Each city had its own god. There were Greek gods and Roman gods. And if you didn't worship the gods, you were a traitor. Because you refused to worship the city god, it might invoke the wrath of God, that god, upon the populace. It's like burning the flag on Australia Day. You stand out. Becoming a Christian is not something that you do on the side. It's not just for the Sunday morning time slot. It's not just for growth group. It's a complete redirection of your life. You turn from idols to serve the living God. What are the idols for you? What are the dangers for you? The things that are taking over and crowding God out. Maybe it's your work, your studies, money maybe, wanting the big house, having the good life. The big one is often your kids. Is life all about them? If you are honest this morning, what is that for you? The idols that are still trying to pull you back in the wrong direction. Do you see for the Thessalonians how it shows itself? It shows in faith and love and hope. The Christian triad, we see those three things all over the place in the New Testament. Now, Christianity, it is not just a private thing. These things, they do something. In verse 3, their faith produces work. Love leads to labor, and hope inspires endurance. Faith means that we trust that Jesus is in control. Now, that doesn't mean that we sit back and let God do everything. No, it means we work. We put ourselves out there for Jesus because he's in control. Now, back in January, we went across to the beach. I was at the beach with Eva. She's our youngest. The waves, they were pretty solid. Now, there was no way that Eva could stand up there by herself. And actually, we tried it. We stood there for a while, and the waves threatened to wash her over. Now, by herself, it's dangerous. But if I've got her, if I'm holding on to her, she's fine. She can go for it. She can enjoy the waves. Now, friends, Jesus has got a hold on us. And our future is completely guaranteed. And because of that, we can go for it. I don't have to live as if this world is all there is. I can use my time to serve a church. I can give my money for the work of the gospel. I don't have to be scared. I don't have to be scared of missing out. I can go for it. Faith, trusting in Jesus, leads to working for Jesus. And love does the same. I was reading an article this week about a person who was saying that she doesn't need a partner, she doesn't need a boyfriend because she's in love with herself. And it was a strange article. She's not talking about having a good, healthy self-esteem. She's actually attracted to herself. When she looks in the mirror, it was kind of weird. And that is not what the Bible calls love. Love is directed outside. For the Thessalonians, it's loving God and loving others. And that love for God, that love for other people, it drives us to work hard for people, to labor for them, even if we get nothing out of it. Maybe we know that God is in charge. Maybe the reason why we don't serve is not because we lack faith, but because we lack love. And the way we grow in that is to actually look at God's love. He loves us even when we were enemies. We didn't deserve it. And he sends his son, Jesus, to die for us. It's incredible love. It's sacrificial love. You think about what God does for us. Now start doing that for the people around you. Who can you grow? Who can you build up? Who can you care for? Because that's what love does. Faith, love, and hope. Knowing that Jesus is coming and we are waiting for heaven, it gives us endurance. We keep going even when it's hard being a Christian. We keep serving even though it's easier not to. We keep going because we know where we are headed. Remember in 2 weeks ago, Philippians chapter 3, we run the race. It's a marathon as we run to heaven. Now, we could do a mini-series on each of those 3 points, but Paul here is giving us the hallmarks of genuine Christianity. It is a life that is transformed. It's radically transformed. Now, friends, those things do not save us. Jesus does, absolutely. But Jesus transforms us. And it begs the question, is that me? Do I see faith that leads to work? Love, so I labor for people and I care for them. Endurance, and so we keep going. Is there evidence in the church? Is there evidence in me of genuine Christianity? Transformed lives. Now, how does that happen? How did it happen for the Thessalonians? Where did it come from? Paul tells us, verses 4 to 6, it comes from the gospel. You see, they are gripped by the gospel. Pick it up in verse 4. Paul says, "For we know, brothers and sisters loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and deep conviction." The gospel is the message about Jesus. Verse 10 gives us a snapshot. God sent his son to save us. Jesus dies because of our sin. But he comes back to life again. And he's going to come to judge. And when he does, he rescues us from that judgment. He rescues us from the coming wrath, the coming anger that we actually deserve. Do you see how that message came to the Thessalonians? In verse 5, it doesn't just come with words, but with power, and with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. In other words, the gospel is powerful. In the Thessalonians, the Holy Spirit takes the message about Jesus and he sinks it deep in the Thessalonians. There's deep conviction. They believe this message. And in verse 6, in the midst of severe suffering, they welcome the message with joy. If you're feeling dry as a Christian, yeah, maybe as you start the year, you look back at last year and you feel like you haven't been growing. I wonder if it's because we're not reading the Bible, or we only do it as a duty. We do it as a chore to get through to the other side. I remember saying to a few guys a number of years ago that the Christians who are growing are the ones who are reading God's Word. Now, we've got a couple of plants at home. After a while, they start wilting, they start going brown, they go droopy. You give them some water, and something magic happens. They pick up again, and they go green. Now, we know that happens with plants, but we wonder, with our Christian lives, we feel dry and we scratch our heads. You've got to water it, and you've got to feed it. Now, 2 weeks ago, I suggested three things to keep growing as a Christian. I suggested going to church and reading your Bible and going to growth group. Keep coming to church. We want you to be here. If you're online, we want you to be here with us. And maybe we're getting complacent. Bible reading. Have you started yet since that sermon 2 weeks ago? Now, Gordon sent me a message early in the week. He's saying that the 9 o'clock growth group, they meet on Monday mornings, they're going to start reading through Romans. They're using a set of studies written by Matthias Media, written by Gordon Cheng. So he's promoting his own book. I don't think he's getting commissions from it or royalty. And I thought that's a great idea. And he suggested we might want to do that as a church. Now, that book costs $9. They're going through Romans 1 to 5. If you don't have a Bible reading plan, let me know. Grab that book. Start reading the gospel. Be part of a growth group. Don't make it low on the priority list. Maybe you've actually been thinking, yeah, I'll get around to it someday, but you never have. Do it today. They're starting up. And make sure you keep going. The Thessalonians were gripped by the gospel. It was powerful. It convicted them. It sparked joy in them. And this year, I really hope that that is us. The hallmarks of genuine Christianity radically transformed, gripped by the gospel. And the last thing we see is that the Thessalonians are ringing out. The gospel ripples out from them. In verse 7, the Thessalonians are a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. And then verse 8, the Lord's message rang out from you. Not only in Macedonia and Achaia, your faith in God has become known everywhere. The gospel ringing out from the Thessalonians, which is incredible if you think about it. The Thessalonian church, it's only been a few months old, and it was born in a firestorm. It was under attack. There's been a riot. There's been a mob. One of the Christians dragged off to court. Paul runs away in the middle of the night. In a city like Thessalonica, how easy it would have been to hide your faith away, to fly under the radar. I'll be a Christian as long as no one realizes. But the gospel rings out from the Thessalonians. Now, the biggest bell that I've ever seen, as far as I can remember, is a bell that I saw in Japan. It's as big as I am. That's actually the picture that's on the screen that's there behind you. The bell, it was made of bronze. It's massive. And the way that you ring this bell is that there's a log suspended by a couple of ropes. And so you give the rope a couple of swings, you get the log going, and once you've got enough momentum, you hit the bell, and as you hit it, the sound travels to the other end of the village. That's the Thessalonians with the gospel. And I pray that that is us. Mitch and I met up last week to talk about evangelism. We want to work out what it can look like for us this year to get it back on the radar, even with COVID. Remember the Q&A last week? Evangelism is all of us. Who does God want you to pray for? Who does God want you to get to know and to talk to about Jesus this year? You know, pray that St. Barnabas is a huge bell in Roseville and Chatswood and Castle Cove. And pray that all of us, we are mini bells in the office and at school, to our friends, to the trade, to the gardener, whoever it is, that the gospel rings out from us. Hallmarks of being a genuine Christian, transformed, gripped, and ringing. Now, before Dawn and I had kids, we went to China for a holiday. We thought we'd go for one last dash of freedom, and we thought we'd go to a place where, yeah, it's kind of a bit harder to bring kids. We bought a souvenir over there, and when the shopkeeper gave me back the change, I knew something was up. The money that he gave me was a strange-looking note. The colour was not quite right. It was whiter, it was paler than it should have been. The paper was too thick. And as a reflex action, I told him, it's not right. I made him give me back a real note instead of a fake. And I've always thought to myself that, you know, if I could do it again, I should have actually kept the note. Yeah, it actually wasn't worth that much money. It was probably worth around $2 Australian, but it would have been kind of funny to have that fake Chinese money there. But you know, I'm glad now that I didn't. I looked it up last night, and apparently it's illegal to have counterfeit money, even if it's foreign currency. If I kept it, I could have ended up on TV, border security maybe. Now, having a banknote that's not quite right in front of customs is one thing. Having a version of Christianity that is not quite right in front of God, now that's completely different. Now again, we are not saved by works. It's not what we do which saves us. Jesus saves us when he dies on the cross and he comes back to life again. That saves us completely. But if we know the gospel, how much God loves us, what it is that Jesus does for us, that has got to change us, doesn't it? It transforms us to turn from idols and to serve the living God, to have faith and love and hope that does something. If we know the gospel, it grips us and it brings joy and conviction. And if we know what God has done for others, we want them to be saved as well. And so the gospel rings out from each one of us. The hallmarks of genuine Christianity, transformed, gripped, and the gospel ringing out. How are you going in each one of those things? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for what you have done for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that you have saved us, and because of what he has done, that you make us your church, you make us your people. Thank you that it's simply by trusting in that amazing gospel that we are saved. But Father, we pray that that gospel will shake us and transform us from the inside out. Help us to live radically transformed lives. Help us to be gripped by the gospel. And we pray, Lord, that the gospel will be ringing out from us as a church and as individual Christians. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.